10 days in Cochabamba and Santa Cruz, and it was one of the best organizations I have ever seen in my life. Their transparency, how they understand poverty, how they break cycles of poverty, how they do it without hurting families that are in places of poverty. Incredible ministry. And my heart exploded towards them in all kinds of ways after this particular trip. In the fall of 2015, I led a group from this church, some of you here this morning, back to Cochabamba for 7 to 8 days, where we had a chance to meet our sponsored children that we had been sponsoring and growing relationships with for 3 or 4 years, and to go back and be a part of their ministry, get plugged in with their ministry in Cochabamba to see our children was a rich and incredibly life-changing ministry. I share these stories with you very, very quickly to simply say it was these three experiences that furthered in me the heart of what is in the text that we'll be dealing with this morning. If you have your Bibles with you or a phone with a Bible on it, I would ask you to open up or turn to or press on the screen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, and we're going to be working through 19 through to 30. And we're going to highlight really the heartbeat of the text, put it on the screen so you can see this heart that we're going to try to draw out this morning. And it's kind of nuanced, so I hope that you hear it well and that it will shape you in one way or another when we're finished our time together this morning. At the heart of these 11 verses in Philippians chapter 2 is the heart that says it is a sacrificial giving of oneself that drives the ministry forward. The sacrificial giving of oneself that will drive the ministry forward. This is what struck me while in Cuba and Bolivia. In fact, up until this point in my life, I have never been on the receiving end of a type of generosity that I would physically and spiritually and grow in my walk with the Lord, that I was on the receiving end of that benefit at an actual cost to someone's own life. I have never experienced that before until this particular moment. In both countries we visited places that were in extreme poverty. These were the situations that we visited. I can remember the missions trip to Bolivia, driving out of the city of Cochabamba, which would be like any major urban city. You'd never know that poverty would even exist here in this place. And then you start driving 15, 20 minutes in any direction outside the city. And the team that was in the van was quite excited. We'd arrived safe. We were chatty. And the further we drove out of the city, the quieter the van began to get. The poverty that our team witnessed, well, it was difficult to witness. There's a smell to it that's distinct. There is an actual taste to it in the air that is hard to comprehend. There's a darkness to it that as you begin to hear their story, as you begin to hear the situations you're in, there are forces at work, systemic forces at work that are designed to keep people in poverty, that are driven by sin and greed and pride and all kinds of evil. And yet it's in this context, while in Cuba, we were fed like kings and queens. After each meal, Rigo, our host, the Cuban defector that we somehow got connected with, told us that we were on the receiving end of a communal meal effort. In other words, everyone that was invited to the meal brought all that they had from their homes to feed us, to bless us, to nourish our bodies, to welcome us into their family at a cost to all of the groceries that they had in their home. So for days following this feast, there was very little, if nothing, left for them for their own home until the next week they would be able to get some more food. While in Bolivia, everywhere we visited these compassion projects, we were welcomed as though we were royalty. It's as though the King and Queen of England had arrived. Families presented us with gifts, with blankets, with handbags, with baskets, with wall decals. Each of these gifts were handmade, beautifully amazing. A lot of care and a lot of affection go into each one. These gifts blessed us. They were special to us. They were personal, and it came at a great cost to them because this, in fact, was their livelihood. They would gather these materials from random sources, make these things, and then sell them in the local market to provide for their families. And they were giving them away to our team for free with nothing to receive on finances on the other side. It is this spirit of generosity that's woven all through the text this morning, where at great cost to someone, they do something to push the ministry forward in one way or another. So in verse 19, you'll see it on the screen or in your Bibles themselves, it says this. This is Paul writing from jail to this church in Philippi. He says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you. Let me explain this for a moment. Paul and Timothy have a close father-like son relationship. And while Paul is in custody, he is on the receiving end of a lot of care and a lot of encouragement and a lot of visitation from his good friend Timothy. And Paul has a willingness to send his very best guy to this church in Philippi. He says a little later on, he says, I have no one else like him, and I'm going to send him to you. This guy, unlike other people I know, he will actually show genuine concern for you. And we know the difference between those people. It's like, I'll pray for you. In your head, you're like, no, you're not. And then there's people who are like, I'll pray for you. And you're like, I know you will. Timothy is one of these people who actually would pray for them, who actually would go to their home and actually would visit and would care and show genuine concern for. And Paul has a heart disposition to say, I will let him go to you to do these things for you. And it will cost me much because I will have no one left with me here while I'm in custody. It doesn't stop there. We go to verse 25. Then he goes on one step further. He says, I think it's necessary that I send back to you Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus, another close friend of Paul, another brother in Christ, another co-worker in the gospel, another one that he is going to send back at great cost to himself while in custody, while alone. And their jails are nothing like our jails. Like, conversation of like three square meals a day and an actual concern for the mental health of inmates now, like that is not what's unfolding in the first century. And Paul has a willingness to send both of his close friends to this other church at great cost to himself. This sacrificial spirit keeps on going in the text a little later on in verse 25, where Paul acknowledges this Epaphroditus, this is the guy that you sent to me years ago to take care of my own needs when I was in a spot of need. Epaphroditus, this guy that's referenced throughout the book of Philippians, he is the one that Paul was on the receiving end of years ago in the form of a care package. Probably some clementines, one of those dolly candies that you can, that are a sucker for, like, that'll last for weeks in time, like those kinds of things Paul receives in a care package, probably some funding to further the ministry of Paul as he's going forward. And Paul has received this, and now he's sending it back to Paul. In Philippians 2, 19 through to 30, there is a beautiful back and forth. There is a sacrificial generosity that's woven into this story that's between Paul and the church at Philippi, where they would send as they had back to them and vice versa at great cost to themselves. For those of you that dedicated your children this morning, well, for the next 20 years of your life, if you're lucky, you will be sacrificially giving yourself away to your children in the mission of pointing your children to Jesus Christ. You will be faced with moments each day. Well, I will either stop and read and point them to Christ through my words, or I won't. There will be a cost to you. And these sound like small, menial costs to us, given what Paul is going through, but they are a cost to you. It's the end of a day. You're tired. It's been a terrible day at work. Your boss, your employee, your whoever it is, your spouse. And here and now, I just want to go to bed, but I'm going to sacrificially give myself away in the form of spending that 5 minutes or three, if your kids have an attention span like me, to spend some time pointing them to Jesus Christ. You'll be faced to pray with them each night, where it's easier to just stay on the couch and watch whatever it is that you watch at nighttime in your Netflix binge seasons. Which like I do this too. Like, and then there's this moment of like, I should go pray with my children. I should go tuck them in and tell them all that I want them to know about who Christ is. There's sacrificial moments that will cost me something as I engage in this ongoing mission, this ministry of pointing my kids to Christ. You'll be faced with economic moments, teaching your children how and what it looks like to honor God through your treasure. And there'll be a cost to this. You won't be able to go and do all that you want to go and do in that moment. And to you young parents, I wish, please do not live in the reality of credit card debt and running after things quickly. It just ruins your home. Ruins your home. Demonstrate a financial stewardship that's beautiful and Christ-honoring. Demonstrate this so your kids know that there's a way to do this that frees them of anxiety and worry and stress around your finances. Yes, there is a cost. You don't get to eat out every night. You don't get to go on vacations that you think you deserve. You won't be able to. And that's okay, because the one who meets our needs is greater than a vacation that lasts for 7 days. And sometimes it's hilarious. We go away and it rains. And quietly I'm like, I'm glad it rained. I know this firsthand because we are now 13 years in to raising our own kids. 18 years married today, actually. Thank you for that. No one really knows the plight I'm in. that couldn't be further from the truth. 13 years in, and we try. We don't always get it right, but we try to demonstrate these things before our children each day in the hopes that they too would one day do the same thing. Look to Christ, live in Christ, be aware of the Spirit in their life, all of these things. And it's at great cost to oneself now in this work of the mission of pointing my children towards Jesus Christ. We sacrificially give our treasure away to two beautiful children, Nada and Mateus. One lives in Cochabamba, the other one lives in Brazil. It's great when our children pray for them and they understand why we give our $42 each a month away to them on top of all the other things that we do in the hopes that our children would understand that our treasure is not our own. We use it to further the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our church practices this sacrificial giving spirit in many, many ways. Last year alone, in 2018, we as a church family, we gave away $104,000 to other good ministries around Atlantic Canada and around the world. Ministries like United in Mission, one that most of you would never know and understand, but it's part of the ministry that we are part of with collective churches that we prayed for two Sundays ago, where they hold significant events for youth and children and pastors and lay people, training them in the work of Jesus Christ. We give away to other organizations like the African Baptist Association in Nova Scotia. We come alongside brothers and sisters that are spectacular in all kinds of ways and bless them in the work that God has called them to. We give our money away to Canadian Baptist Ministries, our global kind of arm that we work through together for the glory of God. We do this joyfully, even though there is a cost to our own church in this kind of generosity. But it enables ministries to unfold in places that would never necessarily unfold. As a multi-site church, this give and take is built into our DNA. We have three sites. And here in Cornwall, we give a lot to further the work in communities of faith that are still growing, still developing, and we joyfully do this, knowing there is a cost to this at home. It's kind of like our own personal finances. Well, if we spend and give here, it means we can't do this over here, which is okay, because it furthers the work of the kingdom of God. Some of you here this morning, you understand this well because you practice this already in your life. You sacrificially give up your preference of worship style. When I think of the one or two that have been at Cornerstone for a long, long, long time, even before my time, you've given up a lot. You're not necessarily a fan of bald-headed pastors with purple goatees and loud music and all of those kinds of things. But you will give way to your favorite songs and your favorite style and your favorite hymns so that there's 250 children that we work with on an ongoing basis. Some of you give up Thursday nights quite regularly, whether it's showing up to cook downstairs for family who are in need because moms and dads can't be in two places at one time, and they show up here to cook for this ministry so that we can care for people well in times of need or times of distress. It means you're not at home. When I think of our elders teams, our facilities teams, our mission teams, and the teams of people go on and on and on, while they're here serving in this way, I understand probably more than most that you are sacrificially giving of your time to further the ministry of the gospel here in this time and place. Others of you are involved in all kinds of great other organizations and other ministries that are doing the same. You are sacrificially giving up time at home with kids, with spouses, with family, with your own mind to do the work of the gospel in all kinds of ways. There's some of you that get up really early on a Sunday morning to cook for us. The Lord's not up then, and you show up to cook for us. And we appreciate it greatly because it furthers the ministry, creates hospitality, creates relationships around muffins and cookies and coffee. It's a beautiful part of the ministry. And we could go on and on and on. I don't know how many of you noticed, but the flower beds were done this morning. A small little thing that someone is giving up so they can serve you to further the ministry of Christ. As a church, this ethos is critical to who we are. And this is the mission that Jesus has invited us into. And we will continue to put before you these kinds of ministry initiatives. We love to align our ministry around the very heart of God in one way or another. Things like the Westwood food sponsorship that started here at Westwood School and now has bled over into the Stratford Elementary School. Things like our student and children's ministries that on Friday night there were about 60 kids here in the building downstairs being pointed to Jesus Christ through Courtney, through Hannah, through a whole bunch of volunteers in the hopes that we would see them come to know the Lord. And we could go on and on and on about all the kinds of things that we put before you, knowing full well we are asking you to sacrifice time, sacrifice your treasure, sacrifice all kinds of things to further the work of the mission that Jesus has invited us into. To end our time together this morning, I always love when we get to the questions of why. Why do we do this? Because for many of us, we've grown up in a church culture where, quite honestly, it's driven more from like religious law rather than the heart of God. Religious law never changes you. Never changes you. Actually, just makes you angry and frustrated, and in time you'll fade into nothing. And hate church, hate God, hate organized religion. And that's ultimately what religious law does. So when we put these things before you, we're not putting them before you out of a heartbeat of religious law that you'll just grow tired of and eventually hate and walk away from faith, the Lord, community of faith, and all those things. We're actually trying to get you to understand the heartbeat of God so that this grows us in the very heart of God, which shapes us not from the outside in, but from the inside out. And when we begin looking at God Himself, we should see the ultimate why that drives this conversation in our lives. God, Father, Son, and Spirit, together as one God, yet three, in their mission to create a way for you and I to get back into the right relationship with God the Father, something had to be done. Something had to be done that we couldn't do for ourselves. So they, Father, Son, Spirit, they, forgive the language, I'm trying to reshape how you might speak of the gospel, they, to push the mission of salvation and redemption forward, generously gave of themselves, all three of them. When we speak of the cross, we wrongfully only highlight Jesus. But this is all three of them, generously giving of themselves in one way or another. And I'm going to phrase it in a way, hopefully you'll begin to see the heart of God in all kinds of spectacular ways when it comes to sacrifice. God, Father, Son, and Spirit, at great cost to Himself, goes to work. It is the divine, eternal Son of God, Jesus, who says, I will leave my eternal home, and I will come to the earth that I made, and I will disadvantage myself. I will take all of their brokenness onto me. I will take all of their aloneness onto me. I will take all of their death onto me. I will take all of their God-forsakenness onto me. I will take all of their worries, all of their fears, all of their trial, all of their struggle. I will take it all onto myself. It is the divine eternal Father that says. And this just bothers me as a father, where the Father says, I will offer up my Son, who I love beyond words. I will see him broken. I will see him beaten. I will see him mocked. I will see him taken advantage of. I will see him ruined. I will see him killed, and I will see him buried. Great cost to the Father to send his Son into the world. And then there's the Spirit who says, I will invade everyone's personal space, and most people will reject me. Most people will walk away from me. Most will never respond to me. I will point others selflessly to someone other than myself. I will point them to Jesus. I will sacrifice all the attention, all the clamoring for the spotlight. I will quietly usher, point them to the beautiful Son of God. And then this gets really difficult. Many of the people who respond to the Son of God, my spirit will be quenched by them because they will ignore me. They will ignore my pushing, my prompting. I will work and work, and they will not respond, and my spirit will be grieved because of them. When we see the sacrificially giving that we see in Paul that goes back and forth within the church, it's not driven from religious law. It's driven because they understand the heart of God. That in the Father first, he says, I will send my Son into the world. And I will see him take all of these things onto himself. And the Father just helplessly kind of sits and watches it all unfold, knowing that it's furthering their own plan for salvation. I can't imagine the Son, like when you know, forgive how I picture this out, but you picture the Trinity kind of in a huddle together, like we're about to go like take on the world together. And it's like, who will go? And the Son's like, I'll go. Like, hands in, like, one, two, three. You know what this means for you? I know what this means for you. Willingly takes on all of our brokenness. Joyfully takes it all on. They, together, in their very heart, demonstrate to move the ministry forward requires great sacrifice. We can't ever forget what fuels the work of the ministry. It's born from the very heart of God in the great act that he has done for us. Where together, Father, Son, Spirit willingly pay a price so that you and I can enter into a beautiful fellowship with him and with others for the glory of God. We see this heartbeat as Paul sends Timothy, as he sends Epaphroditus, as they sent Epaphroditus to Paul first. This is what drives them, and this is what drives us. For the glory of God, we want to be a church that keeps pushing into this. We want to be a church that keeps putting before you moments where you will sacrificially give of your time to push the thing forward. It doesn't happen by accident. Yes, I understand the Holy Spirit is present and going. I understand all of those things. I could write essay upon essay upon essay about all of those things, but I also know there comes a moment where God, like he says to Joshua, stop praying, now go do these things. There actually requires effort on our part to push it forward, and this speaks to the heart of the effort. We want to put before you time and time and time again to bless others, to further other ministries, but to shape your life for the glory of God. Would you pray with me as we bring our time together to a close this morning? Our gracious and heavenly Father, when I pause and think about you, Father, Son, Spirit, I can't even begin to imagine the conversations within yourself about how you will redeem and rescue us. That a father would say, I will offer up my beloved Son, my eternal Son, the one that I have known deeply, intimately, for all time and eternity. I will offer him up. I will watch him be beaten. I'll watch him be mocked. I'll watch him be taken advantage of. I'll watch him be killed. I'll watch him be buried. I can't imagine the Son saying, I will give up everything that I have in the eternal realm of where God lives and dwells. And I will disadvantage myself willingly and take on all of their iniquities, all of their brokenness. I can't imagine this Spirit who's like, and then I'll go to work in people's lives and everyone will ignore me. And everyone will cause me to be grieved and everyone will cause a quenching of me. All for the hope and the reality that some will respond. And many of us in this room this morning, we are those who have responded. And we're invited into this very heart. We're invited into this community to be about the work of the mission of Christ that we see in Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus and the church in Philippi. At great cost to themselves, they will share, they will send, they will receive, they will bless. May we be a church that continues on in this rich history of sharing and pushing forward at cost to ourselves the mission of Jesus Christ to go into the world and tell others about Him, to give them the knowledge of the Son of God, that they are loved by Him, that they are created by Him, fashioned for Him, but they're deeply broken at a level that we really can't comprehend and understand. Where the heart is ruined, the heart is twisted, the heart is manipulated by sin, and it brings death in our life while we live, and it ultimately will bring death in our death where we'll be eternally separated by and from You. May this drive us to live sacrificially in the small things, like muffins, like cooking on Thursdays, in flower beds, in nursery ministry, in kids ministry, in youth ministry. It is amazing to be part of Your mission. It's where we find life. It's where we find purpose. It's where we find joy. It's where our hearts are changed from the inside out. May we be about this work each and every day for Your glory. Amen.